Blog Talk Radio.
The future is coming. You gotta catch it if you can. The magic's unfolding. You can hold it in your hand. We can touch tomorrow again. Make some memories that never fade away. Put your hands on the future. Share a dream together around the world.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Welcome to a very special edition of So Random Saturday on Thanksgiving Day in the USA. Today is Thursday, November 26th, and in the USA, all across the USA, everyone is celebrating Thanksgiving with family, friends, and other acquaintances, and they're sitting down to share a meal together. But Thanksgiving in the United States is a lot more than that. It is a day of celebration and a day of gratitude for what we were thankful about. Now, we're going to talk in a little bit about why only one day, because we're going to talk about studies that'll show that being grateful on a daily basis can have just incredible benefits from a health standpoint, from a mood standpoint, from just kind of reprogramming your brain. But we'll get into that. First, a little history on American Thanksgiving. And I will introduce my lovely and gracious co-host who hails out of South Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa. So they don't have an official Thanksgiving day there, as she was telling me. In fact, she was teasing me and saying that we don't need one special day in South Africa because every day in South Africa is Thanksgiving. And that's kind of a pretty profound statement, because why not? Why not be grateful for who we are, for who has made us who we are, for those in our life that have helped us? And we're going to get into all of that. In the United States, Thanksgiving dates back to 1621, when the Pilgrims first sat down, and you can argue or not whether this is myth, but sat down with the Native Americans and had a Thanksgiving dinner. Then towards the late 1700s, after America had become official country, starting in about 1789, Americans celebrated Thanksgiving annually, but there was no specific date. No one really knew when to celebrate it. Most people celebrated it in November, some in the third week, some in the fourth week, some did it in October or December near Christmas time. In 1941, in fact, December 26, 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt declared Thanksgiving as November 26th and a national holiday. Ever since 1941, Thanksgiving has been celebrated on that day, which is today. So I hope you're all having a very special day in the United States. And if you're listening to us from around the world, we're going to celebrate gratitude worldwide today. As I mentioned, Karina is in South Africa, where they have Thanksgiving every day. And I'm going to introduce her in just a second here. But I want to give back the phone number because we are live, and I know people are enjoying their dinners in various time zones around. But if you happen to be listening to us, the phone number is 646-716-7979. Go ahead and call in and tell us what you're grateful for. What is in your life that you're grateful for, not only today, but every day? I think without further ado, I will introduce the lovely, gracious, and entirely unpredictable Karina Gonzalez, my co-host on So Random Saturday. And by the way, we will be doing another edition at a regular time of So Random Saturday, and our topic's going to be power this Saturday. And so watch for that. We'll post the episode and kind of go from there. Here's Karina. Hello, Karina.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm good. It's Thanksgiving in the USA today. How is everything in Johannesburg, Karina?
It's absolutely awesome. It's full moon. The moon is beautiful, and it's a beautiful day. Thank you for that, Michael. And like I said, we're not officially celebrating Thanksgiving, but we do celebrate Thanksgiving every day.
Yeah, and I think, Karina, I was teasing you earlier that this is your first, you know, connection to an American Thanksgiving, so that's really, really cool. The magic of the internet is just incredible, and what we can do worldwide these days. So, Karina, let's talk about gratitude a little bit. What does gratitude mean to you?
Gratitude, I think it means being thankful for everything, really, for life, for myself, for my family, for my friends, for people who have made a difference in my life, the people who have caused problems in my life, or so I thought, but they make me who I am today. For the earth, for the moon, for the stars, for everything. It's just being grateful and thankful for everything, really.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And there's a song in the musical Wicked called For Good, and the premise of that song is that everyone you meet in your life, whether it's good or bad, came into your life for a reason, and you are changed because of that person. And being grateful for what you learned from that person, I think, is a really, really good lesson.
I agree with you. How does the saying go? If someone comes into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great quote, Corinne.
Yeah, it is. And some people, you think they're devils, but really they're angels in disguises, because you learn a lot from them. You don't think so at the time, but in hindsight, they've guided you and pushed you into some direction or another. So I guess everyone you meet is there for good or bad, but at the end, good, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, gratitude has so many benefits. Something that's trending right now is something called a gratitude journal, where people write down what their blessings are and things like that. And I was really interested to read a while back that there is actually an expert, the world's leading expert on gratitude, a man by the name of Dr. Robert Emmons. And he's a professor of psychology out of the University of California, Davis, which I know well because I actually took classes at University of California, Davis when I was a senior in high school. It's right in the neck of the woods where I grew up, in near the Bay Area of California and San Francisco. And it's just a terrific university. It's not my alma mater, but I did take college-level classes out of UC Davis. And so I have some affection for that school, and it is a terrific school. Well, anyway, Dr. Emmons and a colleague of his out of the University of Miami, they examined the effects of writing gratitude diaries on 200 college undergraduates. And the students were divided into three groups. And one group wrote 10 weekly diaries focusing either on gratitude, hassles, or annoyances. Actually, the three groups. One group wrote on gratitude, one group wrote on hassles, and the other group wrote on annoyances or neutral events. The gratitude group was told this, and I'm going to read this because it's an exact quote of what the gratitude group was told to do. They said, "There are many things in our lives, both large and small, that we might be grateful about. Think back over the past week and write down up to 5 things in your life that you are grateful or thankful for." Now, at the end of those 10 weeks, those in the gratitude control group reported feeling more positive about their lives as a whole, more optimistic about the upcoming week, and they had fewer health problems, fewer physical symptoms. They also found that they were spending more time exercising, yet the researchers thought that the effect on gratitude would be greater than it was, so they surmised focusing on gratitude once a week might not be enough. So they changed their study a bit and brought in additional control groups, and they told them to write gratitude diaries once daily for 2 weeks. And they also replaced the neutral life events group with one in which participants wrote about the ways they are better off than other people. The academic term for that, I guess, is what they're calling downward social comparison. And these instructions were, you know, basically the same as the first study, but the results were dramatic. They were just absolutely insane. Those in the gratitude group, again, experienced more positive moods during the 2-week period than those in other groups. But their health also improved dramatically. So did their energy. And they found that that group was more likely to report doing acts of kindness and service. And their grades also improved from a college perspective. So how about that? That's, you know, gratitude has science behind it. It can improve your mood, your health, and your energy. So how cool is that, Corinna?
That's very, very cool, Michael. I actually, when I do training, I do a little gratitude exercise with my delegates. And what I do is I give them each a little gemstone, a crystal of sorts, and they can choose whichever one they want. And then I tell them to put all their gratitude in there and to keep it with them. So Every time they feeling down or out, they have this little stone in their hand as a reminder. It's also a matter I have going back and speaking to them later. They've also said how something like that makes a huge difference in their lives, changes their whole attitude about life generally as well. So it's very cool, very, very cool study that, Michael.
That is fascinating. Interesting that you deal with that in your trainings out there in South Africa, Karina. I think that's a very cool thing to include in trainings. Once a day isn't enough. I think the study not only showed that if we're grateful every day, if we keep a diary, even if we just think when we're going to bed at night, what are we grateful for? And how about being grateful for yourself and all that has come into making you who you are? I think, typically we're grateful for others in our lives or the things that we have or our education, our relationships, whatever that is. But what about being grateful to yourself? Is there some kind of psychologist or a psychometrist, Karina? Is there some kind of psychological benefit to being grateful for everything that has made you who you are?
I think that there is, Michael. If you're grateful for everything that made you who you are, then you can also believe in yourself and be grateful for yourself. If you're grateful for yourself from a heart and soul level, deep level rather than superficial, makes a huge difference in your life because you can move forward confidently and do what you need to do. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, you know what? I'm okay. Life is good. I think that makes a huge difference as opposed to feeling really bad about yourself because you can't look at yourself in the mirror because you hate yourself for whatever the reason. So I think that's a very good point, Michael.
Very, very cool. And you are listening to So Random Saturday, our special Thanksgiving Day episode in the USA. And we are celebrating gratitude worldwide. Karina, my lovely co-host, hails out of Johannesburg, South Africa, and she's celebrating Thanksgiving on a worldwide basis with us today, too. If you would like to call in and you just happen to be listening live and you've had your supper or your dinner already and would like to tell us and talk about gratitude in your life, we would love to hear from you. The phone number is 646-716-7979. We will be standing by anxiously waiting for your call. Again, the phone number is 646-716-7979. What are some other thoughts that you have, Karina, on gratitude that we can maybe delve into here through the rest of the show?
What about being grateful for beauty, Michael?
Okay, and how are you going to define beauty there?
Okay, let me explain what I'm saying. If you look at, we did mention how we're grateful for everything, but what about being grateful for the beauty of a sunset or the beauty of a cat? Or what about being grateful, like we discussed earlier, about the beauty of self and the beauty of others? So actually looking at the person for the beauty within them as opposed to just looking at them as a... In their physicality and seeing them and finding the beauty within them. Does that make sense at all?
So oh, I think it absolutely makes sense.
So instead Go ahead, Karina. Of seeing, okay, so instead of seeing somebody, let's talk about you see someone in the street and they are, it's probably someone who's blind, for example. How many people judge him because he's blind? And what about speaking to him and giving him the benefit of the doubt and seeing him for who he is, not for the blind person he is or for the person who's got maybe a sore leg or, I don't know, maybe in a wheelchair. You have to see people for who they are rather than for what they look like. That's what I'm saying.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Actually, I saw a while back, and this kind of plays into exactly what you're talking about, Karina, Coca-Cola, the soft drink company in the United States, is worldwide. And they ran a commercial. I can't remember what country it was in the Middle East, somewhere in the Middle East, I believe. And they were trying to foster kind of love and understanding. And they put 10 people in a room and then filmed this commercial. And the 10 people could not see what each other looked like. And then they had them asking questions. So it was entirely, they were all basically to each other blind. And so they would have no preconceived notion of what the others looked like. Human beings can be highly visual. And when you look at someone, you have a tendency to draw conclusions immediately based on the way that individual looks. And for whatever reason, we all know that that's unfair, but it's just kind of human nature. When they took the visual element out and had these 10 people just kind of talk to each other, all those preconceived notions went away from a personal standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, from a preconceived notion standpoint. And I thought that was an absolutely fascinating thing. And then they distilled it down and they turned it into a 60-second commercial. And I remember they were doing Coke cans on, you know, We Are All One or something like that. I can't exactly remember. It was a while ago, about a year ago that I read that. But I thought it was a really, really cool way of demonstrating how we have preconceived notions of people, and that if you don't see them and you just talk to them, you get to know them and you see them, not physically, but for who they really are and what kind of person they are. And I thought that was really interesting. And I know in the last show, Karina, we talked about, you know, long-distance relationships and how you can probably get to know someone on a more intimate level by dealing with that first, because the physical doesn't get in the way. So you have any thoughts on that, Karina? And that wasn't really a study. It was just kind of an experiment that Coca-Cola did, but I thought it was fascinating.
It's very fascinating. We had a similar kind of advert here for Dove, I think it was. A similar kind of thing, but this was about self. So they had a few girls and they were women. And then they had someone they were drawing them. So the woman would describe themselves and he would draw them. And then someone would describe her, what they saw, and they would draw them. And that was also, there was also a huge discrepancy. Very similar here, probably I'm spinning it off a bit, but instead of how the woman also saw themselves uglier than anyone else saw them. So it works both ways, I guess. We look at people and see ugliness, and when we look at ourselves in the mirror, sometimes we see ugliness. But I suppose ugliness is also in the eye of the beholder. At the end of the day, we need to be grateful for others as well as ourselves. But do we see, if we see ourselves ugly, do we see others ugly? So are we mirroring ourselves on other people? Interesting concept.
Yeah, and I heard the other day someone, in fact, it was on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And by the way, let me put in a plug for all of our awesome hosts on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. We have shows from coaches around the world that are just doing awesome things with their radio shows on the Coach on Fire Radio Network via blogtalk.com/Coach on Fire Radio. We have shows on virtually anything: health, wellness, business coaching, life coaching, spiritual, angel readings. We have one host that does angel readings. Karina, you do some things with crystals and chakras, in addition to your transformational shows on your With Intent show. But anyway, we have, we're looking for 14. We have right now, we have 12 awesome hosts, two new ones starting in January after the holidays. And we also, have current shows on the air almost every day of the week. We have a show going on, and I encourage you to pick out a show or two that you like that fits in with your interest, and listen to some of our hosts on the Coach and Fire Radio. I'm sure you will be impressed. If you'd like to call in and tell us what you're grateful about on this Thanksgiving Day in the USA or worldwide, gratitude does not show favoritism on one country or another. Give us a call at 646-716-7979. Karina, that Dove commercial must have aired worldwide, because they were doing the exact same thing here. And it had a lot to do with body image and how people saw. You know, you go to, you watch models or Fashion Week or a Victoria's Secret fashion show, and these models from a woman's standpoint are you know, no question they're drop dead gorgeous, but also mm-hmm. is that realistic for, you know, the majority of women in the world? Not everyone can be a size zero or a half or whatever these women are in these commercials. I think I read somewhere that the average size woman worldwide was 6 or 7, somewhere in that range. But these models are, one and two, and that becomes the image from a woman's perspective of beauty. And that leads to health problems with young women because they want to be ridiculously thin, and that creates anorexia and what's the other one? Bulimia, is that right?
Bulimia.
Yeah, amongst young girls. And I've, also seen it. I grew up in California, as many of you know. And so I grew up near the entertainment industry and had friends in the entertainment industry. And many of my friends' parents were involved in the entertainment industry. It's just kind of the nature of California. I have friends that were trying to be actors and actresses, especially the actresses, that did not look overweight to me by any stretch of the imagination. And they would just be flat out told, they could be a size 4 or 3 and they were flat out told, "You're too fat for TV. Get out of, this audition." Sure. It was just insane. And someone we used on a campaign, I won't say her name, but she's quite famous and a very famous singer and just a wonderful woman. She was a mega star and was told many times when she was doing her variety TV show back in the late 70s that she needed to lose weight, and she was not overweight by any stretch of the imagination, and that caused health problems for her because she wasn't eating. I think she was joking around one time. She said, they put me on a half a grape a day diet, and not only affected her from a physical standpoint, it affected her from a mental health standpoint and how she saw herself. And, and trust me, I know this woman well, and she was drop dead gorgeous, beautiful, not stick thin by any stretch of the imagination. But for anyone to tell her that, I was just, absolutely shocked. And you hear stories not just from her, you hear stories from actresses all over the place about that. Mm-hmm. I think a current mega singer, Lady Gaga, was quite quirky and crazy, and it works for her from a marketing standpoint. But you can also tell that she's quite sensitive, and she came out publicly on Twitter and other social media sites and said that producers and people were telling her that. It's just crazy what our image of beauty is and what especially Hollywood producers and people think. How does that affect your gratitude level and the image you have of yourself? When you think badly of yourself, how can you be grateful? Is that making any sense at all, Karina?
It is. Well, you can't be grateful. But I think that Hollywood and the movie industry at some point is quite very shallow as well, unfortunately. My opinion, okay. And I think that affects people's self-image, which affects gratitude. Are you okay?
I am.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Fighting a cold here a bit. I thought I had that on mute, but I guess not.
Self-image has a huge impact on gratitude, I think. You can't be grateful for yourself or for anybody else if you don't feel good about yourself. So I suppose you'll have to start working on that. So maybe it's baby steps. So maybe look at, I've got beautiful eyes today, or I've got a pretty hands, and start slowly. Work from there. That should work.
Yeah, and I think there's so many things that that we can be grateful for that we kind of miss. And you hit on one that I happen to... and there goes Daisy barking in the background. So someone must be dropping.
Are you grateful for her, Michael?
Yes, I am grateful for Daisy. Daisy is absolutely a blessing in my life. She's a little tiny kind of a poodle mutt. She's not a full red poodle, but she's a tiny little thing and quite friendly. And she was a rescue puppy that I got at the animal shelter, and she had been quite abused in the first few months of her life, and it took her a little while, but now she's probably the most loving dog around. She's just, you know, and loves Peter, is not afraid anymore, and she has a warm place to sleep, lots of food, lots of treats, and she can pursue her mission in life, which is to chase birds and squirrels. And she is probably happiest doing that, especially when the weather's nice outside. She loves to go chase the squirrels back up the tree or chase the birds out of the lawn. That's, you know, she's never going to catch them. But, you know, Martin Luther King had a dream, too. And that's Daisy's dream. One of these days she's going to catch them, but it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, yes, you know, I am indeed grateful for Daisy Karina. Thank you for asking. One of the things you mentioned and in writing my notes for this show, I was writing down, okay, five ways that you can be more grateful on a daily basis. And one of the things I put down, you've already touched on, and I want to expand on that a little bit, because when you and I are talking off the air a lot, we talk about this. We both take walks in the morning. So what I said was, you know, take a walk in nature or in your garden or wherever you happen to be and enjoy the outdoors and focus on feeling grateful for the fresh air, just the fresh air. And I know you did a video on that, I think, did you not, Karina, on just appreciating nature and the fresh air. And by the way, you can find Karina's videos on Under With Intent on YouTube. They're absolutely awesome. They're dramatic. They're different than anything you've ever seen from a coaching standpoint. So I encourage you to watch those as well. I believe you did a video on feeling grateful for just the fresh air, the water, the natural beauty, taking a look at a flower on a hike. Or I grew up, and is that our first caller? Is that Grandfather Karina? Grandfather Clock,
yes,
in your home?
It is.
There we go.
First caller.
We go. Our first caller, what are you grateful for, Grandfather Clock?
Just to tick on and on and on and drive everyone insane. I think that's probably his mission in life. I think that's what he's grateful for.
I would imagine he's grateful for time. Grandfather Clock, grateful for time. You know, I grew up and I just love the oceans, listen to the waves crashing and be grateful for things like that. You know, right now I'm living in Boise, Idaho, and, you know, we're in the heart of the Northern Rocky Mountains, which are just absolutely gorgeous. Right now, looking out over the mountains, we can see the snow-capped peak. Even tried to snow in the valley there last night, and it lasts very long, nevertheless. So taking a look at a snowflake, or the dusting of snow that we have on the ground, and appreciating the beauty, and we're going back to beauty again, the beauty of nature. I think we sometimes miss those little things in nature that we can also be appreciative of. Your thoughts on that, Karina?
When I walk, I appreciate walking on the earth and the trees. And have you ever hugged a tree, Michael?
Have I ever had the what, Karina?
Have you ever hugged a tree?
Have I ever hugged a tree? have I ever hugged a tree? That's taking me back to my political days, but that was more of a derogatory term when we were fighting with some of the more strident environmentalists. And it's not that I'm not an environmentalist, it's just that I think sometimes, well, let's not get into a political discussion right now, because you know how that will go with you and I. Anyway, I don't know that I have ever hugged a tree, Karina, but I used to climb them. I used to build a tree house in my parents' backyard, and I used to spend lots of time in trees, oftentimes by myself in that tree house, just kind of meditating and thinking or reading. So I was close to a tree in that fashion. So I assume that you've hugged a tree, Karina?
You can be grateful for the beautiful old trees as well. Mm-hmm. They give you lots of energy and, yeah.
And as you know, growing up in California, they have the most spectacular redwood trees that are, you know, hundreds of years old and thousands of feet high. It's just, you know, absolutely incredible and absolutely stunning in the Muir National Forest down there in California, someplace that you will have to go when you visit California, Karina. Just absolutely
stunning. Sounds beautiful.
You know, knowing that your love of nature, that would be a place that you would just fall in love with immediately. So, yeah, I think being grateful for little things like that in nature, I think that's something a lot of people miss. So, you know, that's one of my ways that you can be more grateful, and it also can help you kind of refocus. Now, take a look at that flower. Just don't pass it on your walk. Take a look at it and marvel at the intricacy of that flower, how it developed. And I know, Karina, you are a lover. You always remind me of a book called All Creatures Great and Small. You were telling me the other day that, in fact, you were quite excited that you saved a rain spider out of your kitchen. And I thought that that was quite cute. And I know that you're also a vegetarian because you don't believe in killing anything. When you can be grateful even for a tiny little insect, like a spider, then I think you probably evolved into a gratitude that's at a different level than most people have. And I think that's absolutely, you know, pretty cool. It shows what kind of heart you have in rescuing a little rain spider and making sure that he was not crushed or killed. I thought that was pretty darn cool and tells us a lot about your heart, Karina. So congratulations on that. What are some other ways that we can be more grateful? What are some other ways that we can be more grateful, Karina?
You know what is very exciting for me as well, Michael? When it rains outside, it's just that light rain. I love walking through the rain. It's like very cool. And you can walk through the rain and be grateful that the rain is wet in the ground and it's going to cause things to grow and the grass to get greener. But what about feeling grateful that every single drop of that rain on every single person sends them a blessing? How grateful can that make you?
Yeah, that's very cool. That's a good idea. That plays into a little bit of my next thought. Today in the United States, and everyone has to eat. I mean, they're going to be sitting down to dinner or breakfast or lunch. What about being grateful for the people that helped you get the food on the table? What about being grateful for the farmer who grew the food, the workers who picked the crop, the truck drivers that got it to where it had to be so you could buy it, the grocers that put it in the store,
where you could
find it.
Life.
And the vegetarian speaks. Yes, and the 50 million turkeys consumed in the United States on Thanksgiving that sacrificed its life. And I was telling you, Karina, about the White House ceremony that they have that I got to participate in a couple of times when I was working with President Reagan, where the day before Thanksgiving, the president comes out on the White House lawn and they have a turkey out there and the president pardons that particular turkey. So that particular turkey is then transported to a petting zoo somewhere in the United States. It's a different petting zoo every year, but they pardon this one turkey. Nevertheless, 50,000 turkeys are consumed at Thanksgiving in the United States every year, or somewhere close to 50 million, I should say. And that's an awful lot of turkey. So yeah, be grateful for the turkey that sacrificed his life so you could enjoy a good dinner. I didn't think of that, but I didn't put that in my notes, but that is exactly something that I would think that you would make sure that that we think about, Karina. So awesome. Your next tip for being grateful, Karina, and before you give that next tip, let me give out the number just in case someone would like to call in and tell us what they're grateful for on this Thanksgiving Day in the USA or worldwide. 646-716-7979 is the phone number to call in today and join us on our celebration of gratitude. Okay, your next tip for being more grateful, Karina?
What about being grateful for silence?
Okay.
So, sure, we live in a crazy world. Everything's so busy and noisy. It's extremely noisy out there. The cars, the internet, you can't live without your mobile. What happens if you switch everything off and you just sit down and listen to yourself and be grateful for who you are and what you're saying or what your higher self is saying, and they don't have time to talk to you because there's so much noise around. So be grateful for silence. Take those few minutes in the morning or at night or during the day and just listen. Listen to your heart and hear it beating. That could work.
That's a really good tip that I hadn't thought about. Be grateful for the silence. Kind of a digital detox in our hyper noisy world with all our gadgets, and you know, we're constantly buried in our phones and our computers or watching the television. Why not shut that down for just a bit and just be grateful for the silence? Very cool idea. And
I think
being grateful for the people in our lives is something that most of us think of. And we're trying to approach it from a different perspective, where be grateful for things that we don't necessarily think of. Karina, is there one person in your life, or two or three, that have helped you be the person you are today that you would like to thank publicly on the air?
There's so many people. I guess my mother. I have to thank my mother. I have to thank my son, my family, my nieces, my nephews, my friends, past and present, friends that have come into my life and left my life, but they've made an impact. I have to thank my new boyfriend, actually. I think he's made a huge impact on my life. Yes, I think that's all, Michael. It sounds like I am receiving an Oscar award, so I think I will end that now. What about you?
Well, the same types of people, Karina. My family, my father, you know, who moved away about 10 years ago, a huge influence on my life. He literally told me I could do anything and believed in me from the word go. And of course, my family and all of my friends that I've been so supportive and so loyal throughout the years. And of course, my new girlfriend has been a huge influence on me. At some point, Karina, we'll talk about our boyfriends and girlfriends, but not today.
Not today.
Not today are we going to reveal exactly what that's all about. Another person that I am extremely grateful for, and she has since passed away too, was a third grade teacher I had. And I wrote about this in my book, Don't Seek Success, Be Happy. In third grade, I had literally flunked a standardized test. So The principal called my parents into the office and said, we want to put him in a special education class. He's clearly not capable of handling the normal academic load, even in the third grade. But the third grade teacher that I had was also in that meeting. And she basically said, over my dead body, are you going to do that? There's something wrong with the test, because there's no way he belongs in a special education class. So let's retest him. And they did. And the same result happened. I flunked it miserably again. And so the next meeting took place, and the teacher's there, and my parents are there. And the principal says, well, this absolutely proves it. And again, the third grade teacher said, over my dead body, are you putting him in a special education class? He's too articulate. He's too bright, from what I see on a daily basis, for these tests to be right. There's something else wrong here. And so somehow she convinced the principal to give her a few weeks to research it and come back to him with the report. And to her credit, she did exactly that. And she started talking to professors around the state of California and found a couple at Stanford University, which is one of the top universities in the country, that said, we think we know what the problem is. And can you bring him down and we'll test him, because we're working on something right now. The disability had not even been named at that point in time. This was years and years and years ago. And so they took me down to Stanford and they tested me and put me through lots of exercises and things like that. And the professor says, yes, this is the problem. It's not that he's not bright. It's not that he can't handle the work. It's that his brain and eyes are not coordinating together. And We need to go in and we need to fix that. That later went on to be called dyslexia. But at that time, it didn't even have a name. So What this teacher did is she convinced the principal that she could get trained in the exercises and the techniques that would retrain my brain and eye coordination to work, and I could continue with the normal academic progression. And she agreed to work with me for free every day after school for 1 year in order to correct the problem. And it absolutely worked. I went on to university. I now, you know, have written a book and hundreds of articles and worked for the President of the United States, stuff that I would have had no opportunity to do but for this amazing teacher.
Wow. That's a very cool story, Michael.
Yeah, and so I'm very grateful every day for her, because quite frankly, business writing a book, you know, having dyslexia. But she worked with me long enough and gave me the confidence to do that. I can even talk about an eighth grade teacher that I had, where I wrote a paper and kind of failed on it, knowing that, you know, I could write a paper just as good, if not better, than anyone in the class. And I kind of didn't put a lot of effort into it. It came back to me with a C-. At that point in my life, getting a C on anything was devastating, and didn't think I deserved it. And I went into this eighth grade teacher and said, you've got to be kidding me. this paper is at least as good, if not better, than everyone else's in the class. And he said, oh, yeah, but it wasn't up to what you could do. And I grade on your potential and what you are to do, not to compare you to everyone else in the class. So this is what I'm going to do. I want you to give this some effort because clearly you didn't here. And you've got 3 days to finish it. And I will change the grade if you come back and give it your best effort. And of course, I did that. But I went home and I was, you know, complaining to my parents about him. This guy's the most mean, evil man in the world. How could he do this to me? Blah, blah, blah. This paper was as good as, you know, my parents were just kind of laughing and said, yeah, well, you better do it. You better do what he asked. Unfortunately, this teacher ended up leaving the teaching profession. He, you know, I complained about him miserably at the time, but he was one of the best teachers I ever had. And he quite literally taught me how to write and put up with my occasional reversing words because he understood the dyslexia problem, which I still had a little bit at that point in time. In fact, I still have a little bit of it to this day. But I've been able to write a successful book. I'm working on another book. I worked for the President of the United States. None of that would have happened but for the teachers in my life. The eighth grade teacher that really taught me to give it some effort and work on my writing. The third grade teacher that wouldn't give up on me. She simply wouldn't give up. She said, something's wrong here, and I'm going to find out what it is. And then she went on, by the way, to dedicate her life to helping other kids with learning disabilities, and she became the school district disability specialist, where she would go in and diagnose others with dyslexia, and she did that up until she retired several years ago, and as I said, she's since passed away. Unfortunately, I think budget cuts and things around have eliminated positions like that. She was so passionate about making sure that kids did not fall through the cracks and were able to live up to their full potential that she left teaching, even though she stayed with the school district, just to make sure that those kids got the opportunities that they deserved and were not labeled because of a learning disability. Pretty awesome lady.
Very, very awesome. There should be more people like that, so that too many people fall through the cracks, too many children fall through the cracks.
Okay, that's and Karina, before we go on, let me give the phone number one more time because we have a few minutes left in the show here. The phone number, if you would like to call in and tell us a story like that or something you are grateful for in your life that has allowed you to become who you are, or just another person in your life that you're grateful for, let's call in at 646-716-7979, and we would love to hear from you. Okay, Karina, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on with your thought.
I was just agreeing with you, Michael. Some teachers are really, really good. They support and they grow the students the way they're supposed to. On the other hand, you also get the other odd teacher that just destroys the students. So it's balance, I guess.
Okay. Anyone else you would like to talk about that made you who you were, Karina? Or maybe a story similar to what I was telling?
Sure. Can't think of anything. I think you've really put me on the spot now. There's been a lot of people that have come into my life and they haven't made huge impacts. They've just come in and whatever, we join together and you live together or you do things together for a while and then they move on or you get friends to do the same. So there's no one really that's made a huge impact, unless maybe my current business partner. I think we've been through quite a lot this year, up and down. Our business is very new. And between the two of us, we've made impact on each other. And she's been... she supports me a lot and she keeps me grounded, I guess, because I tend to just fly off the handle with all my crazy ideas. So I'd say I'm grateful for her. Hello?
Hi, very cool, Karina. We have just a few minutes left in the show. Give me one more tip and then I think I will add one and we will close it out again. If you would like to get into the show on the last few minutes, the phone number is 646-716-7979. Karina, one more tip that you can think of on how we can be grateful on a daily basis?
Okay, I'll go back to walking. If you focus on walking instead of thinking about all sorts of things in your head, focus on walking. So focus on moving your feet on the earth. That could be like a meditation. You could start blessing the earth for supporting us. but it also gives you a time for your brain to just chill, and you can enjoy that walk like a meditative walk. Could be grateful for that.
Okay.
What about
you,
Michael?
That's very cool. Well, I think we can be grateful that we are all in a position, or at least you and I are in a position to help others, volunteer, to give to charity. Not everyone can be in that position. I think we need to be grateful, and I think we need to be mindful of that, and then give back to our communities, to our countries, and literally to people that are less fortunate around the world. And I think we can be grateful for having the opportunity to be able to do that. Not only that, mm-hmm. you feel absolutely awesome about helping others, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true. To be grateful, to have the opportunity to transform and assist people, support them and guide them through whatever they're doing, and to see that growth, that is incredible. I agree with you there, Michael.
Absolutely. All right, Karina, on this Thanksgiving Day, I have enjoyed this episode thoroughly. Thank you for joining me and honoring us with your co-hosting ability here. It has absolutely been tremendous. I've enjoyed it. Closing thoughts, Karina, before I close out the show?
Thank you. I think thank you to everybody. Thank you to you. Thank you to me. Thank you to us. Thank you to the world. Thank you to everyone who's listening. And yes, thank you.
Okay.
Those are my closing thoughts, Mark.
And one more thing I think we can be thankful for is that we're all, you know, safe today. And all the people that help keep us safe around the world, from government entities to the military that help keep us free and help keep us safe, I think we owe a bit of gratitude to them, because if we were mm-hmm. not safe, then we could not live and we could not enjoy our dinner this afternoon, or quite literally anything else in our lives. We have another edition, Karina, of So Random Saturday coming up on Saturday. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about power. What are your thoughts on that show, and what are we going to be delving into?
Power. All sorts of power. The power of driving a fast car, the power of your brain, the power of control, the power of taking charge. Power comes in many forms, Michael. What do you think about that?
I think power comes in all sorts of forms, and I know we're going to have an absolutely fascinating show on power, and we're going to talk a lot about how to engage your own personal power. I think one of the ways we become powerful is to be grateful. When we express our gratitude, not only for ourselves and who we've become, but to others in our lives and to nature and to everything that goes in to making us who we are, to giving us the ability to do what we do. That in and of itself is a powerful, powerful part of your life. So tapping into gratitude also helps you tap into your power. We'll go into that a little more, and doing all sorts of things that will allow you to engage your own personal power for greater happiness, success, and health. And I think it's going to be an absolutely fascinating show. We're still in the process of planning it. Look for that. I think it's going to be a recorded show, so we will not be live. Be sure to tune in when we post that sometime Saturday, USA time, a show all about how to find your own personal power, the good, the bad, the ugly, because there is a lot of bad and a lot of ugly when you deal especially with political power and corruption, things like that. We'll get into that a little bit. But mostly we're going to talk about how you can become the most powerful version of yourself for greater success, happiness, and health. And so I hope you will join us on So Random Saturday with Karina Gonzalez and Michael Brooks. So what is Saturday the 28th? So November 28th, that show will broadcast. So look for that. We hope you will all listen. Also, we would like to invite you, Karina and I would, to visit our So Random Saturday Facebook page. There you can learn a lot more about me, a lot more about Karina. You can find past episodes of So Random Saturday, past episodes of Karina's With Intent show, or when I do a special edition of my solo show, Ignite Your Life. You have some of Karina's videos there. Some of my videos are going to be going on. We've got cool quotes and lots of neat motivational stuff there. And we would also be quite honored if you like our So Random Saturday page. Also, don't forget to visit the Coach on Fire public Facebook fan page, Coach on Fire Radio. And you can find that at facebook.com/ Coach on Fire Radio. And we would also be honored if you would like that page as well. On that page, you will find all of our Coach on Fire Radio hosts and a little bit about them, their past shows, their upcoming shows, what's scheduled, what they're going to be talking about, who their guests are. So lots of neat stuff on the Coach on Fire Radio Facebook fan page as well. So I think that will about do it for us. Thank you, everyone around the world, for listening to us today on our special Thanksgiving Day episode of So Random Saturday. We have loved doing this show. I am Michael Brooks, and for Karina Gonsoli, I would like to wish you all a great Thanksgiving Day, and be grateful, everyone. And my usual tagline is, be great. And yours is, Karina?
Remember, you are awesome. Thanks a lot, Michael. Thanks for...
Be great, and remember, you are awesome. Good day, everyone. We will see you on Saturday on another edition of So Random Saturday, where we will be talking about power. Have a great one, everyone, and be great.
Coach on Fire Radio.